Translation. After completing the bathing ceremony for the child, Mother Yashoda received the brahmanas by worshipping them with proper respect and giving them ample food grains and other eatables, clothing, desirable cows, and garlands. The brahmanas properly chanted Vedic hymns to observe the auspicious ceremony, and when they finished and Mother Yashoda saw that the child felt sleepy, she lay down on the bed with the child until he was peacefully asleep. Purport. An affectionate mother takes great care of her child and is always anxious to see that the child is not disturbed even for a moment. As long as the child wants to remain with the mother stays with the child and the child feels very comfortable. Mother Yashoda saw that her child felt sleepy. And to give him all facilities for sleep, she lay down with the child. And when he was peaceful, she got up to attend to her other household affairs. Amagyana tamrindasya gyananjana shalakya chukshul umyade tamina tasmai shri gurveya namaha. I was born blinded by the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I therefore offer my humble obeisances unto him. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Upstaya Bhutala Shimate Hridayananda Goswaminata Namani. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Upstaya Bhutala Shimate Shivaram Swaminata Namani. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Upstaya Bhutala Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminata Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurabani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prashkacharadeshtarane. Mukam Kroti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yakripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Madirayat Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godataya Pushpanvanto Chitro Shando Tamono Do. Offer my humble obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who have risen over the horizon of Gaudadesh, just like the sun and the moon, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and to wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. After completing the bathing ceremony for the child, Mother Yashoda received the brahmanas by worshipping them with proper respect and giving them ample food grains and other eatables, clothing, desirable cows and garlands. The brahmanas properly chanted Vedic hymns to observe the auspicious ceremony. And when they finished, and Mother Yashoda saw that the child felt sleepy, she lay down on the bed with the child until he was peacefully asleep. So before I start, I'd like to humbly request that the learned assembled Vaishnavas give me their mercy and inspiration to help me expatiate on this verse. The setting of this is that there is one of these ceremonies for commemorating a certain stage in the child's life. This is part of the Vedic system. Some people would say it's all very ritualistic and ceremonious. There's something for there's ceremonies and rituals before the child is born and then even before the child is conceived. And then what to speak of when the child is conceived, there's this ritual, there's this ceremony. So it can be sort of frowned upon by people who think that that this is all just it's all just ritual from a time when we can't even recall when it began. But this is actually, it's Vedic culture. And all these so-called ceremonies and rituals are simply vehicles for expressing love and expressing devotion. So they do have a purpose. They're not the end in themselves. When rituals are the end in themselves, then there's a problem. But when they're a vehicle, they're a means to an end, then we see what is the higher purpose and we judge it according to what is that ultimate purpose. So we see here that this is what's going on. Now, what I took note of is how it says in the purport that the mother She attends to that child at every moment. So it's all consuming, actually. And what Prabhupada is telling us, really, in saying that and in pointing that out, is that everybody's Krishna consciousness should be the same. It should be all-consuming, ultimately, and it should be down to the sort of finest detail that we are conscious and aware of what we're doing. Krishna is Mother Yashoda's child, so when she's constantly aware of her child, she's constantly Krishna conscious. So that's one of the messages there. And the other point that's a clearly sort of interesting aspect of this verse is that to highlight this, that Mother Yashoda is so attentive, so meticulously caring about Krishna, to highlight it, it's pointed out that when she lays him to rest under the cart, she just doesn't put him there and wait for him to go to sleep. She climbs down under the cart herself and lies with him just to help Krishna feel secure, and so that it facilitates him falling asleep. There's no sacrifice, no inconvenience that a mother like Mother Yashoda won't go through to facilitate the happiness of her child. And so again, the analogy is there, that there should really, Prabhupada is saying, there should be no inconvenience that we're not prepared to go to through in order to attend to our service, whatever that may be. And I can maybe get on to explain a little bit more about how to interpret what is our service a little later in the class. But she's thinking, there's an irony here, because she's thinking there's this Uttan ceremony going on to commemorate this stage of Krishna's life. And there's lots of people around, and there's brahmanas chanting hymns, and there's all sorts of guests. So where's this Krishna sleepy? Where's the safest place for Krishna to have a nap? And she thinks it's under this cart. You know, it's out of the sunshine. People can't step on him. So this is the safest place. But the irony is that Shakatasura is lurking. And Shakatasura is a demon. Shakata means cart. Sura, asura, means demon. He's the cart demon. So where she thinks is the safest place is actually the most dangerous place. So there's a lesson there, that we should never become complacent and think, you know, okay, I'm home and hosed here with my Krishna consciousness, I'm safe. Because we're never safe. We should think we're never safe. That's a more healthier attitude. So just examining a little bit who Shakatasura is, we know that all the demons in Krishna's Leela, they represent anattas. And what is an anatta? Anatta, like an artha. If something is, that word denotes something that has value, and an anartha is something that has no value. So the demons represent anarthas. If something has no value, there's no point associating with it. It simply becomes a burden, a hindrance. That's what anartha means. It means that here we have something, whether it be something gross or whether it be something subtle. You know, something gross might be like, we see sometimes people live in environments that are just full of clutter. They cannot let go of anything. There's all sorts of useless things in the house. So these are like things, they have no value, and they're simply a hindrance, they're a burden. You can't find things. And you can't move through the house easily. So they're the gross anattas. And even there's there's a sort of an infinite gradation from gross to subtle. So the word, the demon Shakatasura represents bad habits, unwanted things that are in the form of bad habits that we've acquired either in previous lives or in this life. So in the story here, when Shakatasura manifests himself, Krishna stays in the form of a baby. It's not like in, say, other pastimes. For instance, in the pastime of Lord Vamanadev, where in order to resolve the situation, he expanded himself to, you know, a phenomenal size to sort of take these different steps to bring back the heavenly planets to the demigods. Krishna just remained as a little baby and just kicked his little baby's foot and smashed the cart and at the same time killed Shakatasura. So we can see from this that these demons, these anattas, these Shakatasuras, these unwanted habits that we have in our hearts, and that also we sometimes can't let go of in terms of just gross material energy, these Shakatasuras can only be killed by Krishna. We can't overcome them. The Bhagavad Gita explains that in the classic verse, Daivi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durachaya. This material energy is very difficult to overcome. To say very difficult is an understatement. It's practically speaking, it is impossible to overcome because it's Krishna's energy. So, and the reason why it's impossible to overcome is because I've always taken note of this and always tried to remember it. Prabhupada in one purport says that the material energy is endlessly mutable. For something to be mutable, it means it can be transformed. So its power to transform is endless. In other words, it's unlimited. It has an unlimited power to transform its appearance and to disguise itself. So Shakatasura, I heard a class of Radha Swami where he explained that Shakatasura observed the downfall of Putana. You know, Putana was this horrible, horrible, monstrous demon, but she disguised herself into this very, very attractive, incredibly beautiful form, endlessly mutable. And so, so that's why it's impossible to overcome the material energy by our own means. Because this material energy has this incredible potency of manifesting itself in just that configuration that gets under our guard. You know, we're all unique individuals. Everyone's got their unique individuality. So the material energy can configure itself, Maya Devi can configure herself in just that form that gets under our guard, and it'll be different for everybody. So that's why, you know, Mother Yashoda is attending to Krishna at every moment, and that's why we have to attend to our Krishna consciousness at every moment, if we can, you know. And that's a process of eliminating the anattas progressively. And another point is that when we look at the demons in Krishna's Leela, we see certain demons that are, they're just obvious demons. They're gross, obvious demons, such as Aristasura. You know, he just came on the scene. It's explained that his horns were kind of scattering the clouds. He was so massive. And he would bellow in this incredible voice, and pregnant women would have miscarriages just hearing that fierceness, that savage sound. So there's no doubt this is a demon. And you know, Keshi demon, there's no doubt about it. Kalia, he poisons the lake. You know, even a bird flies over the Jamuna, just the vapors coming up and the bird dies. How can there be any doubt? So that, you know, we can see that certain things are demoniac, you know, they're wrong. Things are plain wrong. And so we can steer clear of those very easily. But some of the demons in Krishna's Leela are very subtle. Shakatasura is one of the subtle ones. Putana is one of the subtle ones. They come in disguise. They're not perceivable by our material senses. They're not obvious. So this is one of the points, very important points being made here, why it's important to be meticulous in attending to our Krishna consciousness. In this regard, when I was thinking about how to explain this verse or respond to it, our ability to become purified of these demons, of these bad habits, and our ability to not allow any new bad habits to take root in our consciousness, to appear in our consciousness, it depends on the attitude we have in performing our service. It's all to do with the attitude. Attitude is everything, as they say. So many, many times I've seen Prabhupada explain that in the performance of devotional service, and he's saying everybody must perform their devotional service. He's using this word perform and performance. I've seen it over and over again. So I was just starting to look at that word. And it means to perform something means to execute an activity. To complete a task is how you perform an activity. But there's another connotation to the word. And that is when you perform, you're actually stepping out of your normal persona, and you're putting on a performance. That's another way of understanding the word. That's another meaning of the word. You step out of who you normally are when you're just having your mundane dealings, and there's an extra dimension to how you're expressing yourself. That's what we mean by, you know, somebody's performed at the theater and he's received a standing ovation. It means that person has injected into his role certain emotions. So when we perform devotional service, it's called sadhana bhakti. Now the sadhana means there's a certain task involved, there's a certain structure that we're working within. And the bhakti means that's the emotion that we're meant to do it in. That's the bhava that it's meant to be done in. So to keep the demons out, devotional service must have these two components: the execution of the activity and the emotion as well. That emotion of that Mother Yashoda is describing, of being meticulous and of striving and of exploring and of being creative, not just doing the service, not just, you know, getting into the routine of doing the service. So when that's there, then Maya can't get in. But if those two components aren't there, then that's how Maya gets in. And the last thing that occurred to me in this verse is that, and it's kind of tied in with what I've been talking about as well, is that is this point that Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna is unbreakable. It's unbreakable, and Krishna's love for the Brijbasis, Mother Yashoda and the Brijbasis, is also unbreakable. And that's why it's a spiritual world. It's eternally the realm of loving reciprocation. Nothing can break it. And that's why it's the eternal realm. There's no inebriety. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Iskon Guru Vrinda ki jai. So there's no inebriety can get in. One class of Bhakti Vijnana Maharaj was mentioning this, how he was mentioning this, how it's an interesting point, not easy to explain either, that Krishna's irresistible sweetness comes from the fact that he always remains vulnerable and innocent, like a human baby, a little vulnerable and innocent human baby. But at the same time, there are these moments where this unlimited power and strength comes out, like when he kicks the cart, this unlimited power and strength. But then what happens is that everyone's wondering, how did that happen? How is it possible that this very strong wooden cart could have been destroyed so thoroughly? What could have happened? And then the little children who saw Krishna kick it go up and say, Krishna did it. But then the elders say, oh, these silly little kids, you know, we know it's not possible for a baby to do that. And then Bhakti Vijnana Maharaj was saying how, because one of the reasons, he says, is why they don't believe the kids is because they're in a kind of a denial that Krishna's God. There are all these indications that Krishna is God, but they refuse to interpret the event with that conclusion. Because if they come to that conclusion that Krishna is God, then all their love is endangered. Then that awe and reverence starts to encroach upon this pure love. So they just cannot allow that. He was saying about when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, then all the cowherd boys were getting their own sticks and holding it up and thinking, we better help Krishna hold this up, because, you know, that's a really impossible task, but, you know, somehow he's doing it, but he won't last very long, because they're not accepting that he could be God. So they're holding the sticks up. And then he said, when they start getting tired of holding their sticks up, and they start to think about, you know, how could this be happening, you know? They come up to Maharaj Nanda and they say, we think that Krishna could be Narayan. He could be actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Maharaj Nanda says, you know, he can't even control his senses. You know, I've seen it. When there's thunder and lightning, he gets frightened. He runs into Mother Yashoda's arms. So how could he be God? You know, he can't control his senses. He eats too much. He's stealing butter. He can't control his senses. So he's can't. And then they go, oh, yeah, probably you're right, you know. And then by then the pastime is over and Krishna brings the hill down and they've forgotten that how could he have done that? And it's on to the next pastime. So it's all very wondrous and mystical and transcendental. It always remains transcendental. And Krishna also will never. It's a little bit like in theatre. Somebody is playing a role, and a good actor never steps out of that role, because as soon as he does, the spell is broken. The spell of that illusion becomes broken. And I know this firsthand, because when I used to be in Vrindavan, I was doing service at the Gurukul, and one of my services was doing plays with the kids. And the whole fun of the play was getting these kids to enter into a role, you know, enter into being Duryodhana or enter into being Arjuna and staying in that role and not breaking the role. And just sort of saying an expression that we know, like for instance, I remember even Saurabh, I used to sometimes put him in the plays. So to give the example of Saurabh, then he'd be playing a role, and then suddenly he does something. It's an expression that we know is Saurabh's. It identifies him as Saurabh, so it breaks the spell. So I tell him, stop being Saurabh. You're not Saurabh as long as this play is going. Go back to being who you're meant to be. So in the same way, Krishna, he never breaks this role of being just a vulnerable child, the person who depends on everybody else. He depends on the cowherd boys. He depends on the gopis. He depends on Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. He's dependent on their love. He never breaks out of that role, even though he's the supreme independent, supreme personality of Godhead. He never comes out of that role because he does depend on their love. So, I'd like to just finish there, and if there are any comments or questions.